Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we may have just learned the name of IDW's next mega crossover. The Transformers 5 media juggernaut steamrolls its way into the IMAX Global Fan Event. And we sit down with the folks from Space Ape Games to talk about the new Beast Wars event coming to Transformers Earth Wars. We have all of this and a whole hell of a lot more on this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode.
This episode of Transmissions is brought to you by Prime Toys, where you can get collector-grade toys without the collector-grade prices. Use the code TRANSMISSIONS at checkout for 10% off all regularly priced Transformers-related items at PrimeToys.net. This includes all Hasbro, Takara, and third-party transforming toys. Please visit them via the image on our site or go to TransmissionsPodcast.com/PrimeToys. This episode is also brought to you with the support of our listeners. If you're able to donate, please visit our support page at transmissionspodcast.com/support. On that page, you will find links to donate via Patreon or PayPal. If you can't donate monetarily, please help us out by spreading the word about our show.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that wonders if a space ape is the same as a boss monkey. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
How you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, how's it going? Let's talk Transformers.
All right, so this is a little special episode this week, so we'll get into why that is in a minute. But we start off, as always, with donations. Yoshi is in parts unknown, and his clones were somehow murdered in between the time from... the regular transmission show that came out Wednesday till right now. So
what are you saying?
They won't be joining us.
What have you said here? What? I don't. Charles.
Maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part. I don't know. Anyway.
We've got donations.
New donations. Maybe they'll come back from the dead. I don't know.
I don't understand what Charles would do such a terrible thing.
I didn't say I did it. I just said they were found dead.
How would you know?
He's an engineer. He can be, you know, pretty creative about it too.
Yeah.
I coded them to death.
Engineered a computer virus.
You will read this and do a code review on it.
No! All right, so some people gave us more money this week, and that's really nice of them. And we really appreciate our listeners who take the extra step and turn their love into money, which I think Yoshi appreciates most of all. So starting off with Zach's Cat, her monthly PayPal donation came in, and that's in addition to Zach's Patreon subscription. We got Matt, one of our Patreons, increased his donation, doubled it, in fact. Thank you, Matt. That was very generous of you. We have new Patreons just signed up this week, Jew and Chris. You guys are awesome. Don't forget to join the Discord and take advantage of your Patreon benefits. Listening to the show live, of which is one. And we got a PayPal donation from Emmett. Thank you, Emmett. And that was a very significant donation. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. That was awesome.
You guys are great. We love you. All right. Now let's get into the show, starting off with some comics news. So first of all, we have a new interview with James Roberts. This is at the website BurrowCon. And James Roberts gave an interview about Lost Light. You know, of course, it's a continuation of the More Than Meets the Eye comic. So, but I thought it was interesting. He just talks a little bit about his writing process and his how he plans out the storyline and everything. So, I think it was an interesting interview. It's not that long. It's relatively short. So check that out. I did notice the author of the interview, the interviewer, he got a few basic facts wrong about More Than Meets the Eye. I'm not really sure how that happened. I mean, it seemed like he was an active reader, so not really sure how those errors creeped in. But overlook that and just read James's responses talking about how he develops the comic.
Basic, as in he referred to the Transformers as ponies.
Wasn't quite that bad. He did say that Cyclonus was in charge of the Lost Light, which I don't think that ever happened.
Maybe in his headcanon.
Maybe that's another alternate universe.
It's possible. There's infinite numbers of them, right?
In Cyclonus's head.
Maybe. All right. So that's the interview. Check that out. Another bit of comics news. This is interesting. This is this is in the area of wonderful things you can find on advertising copy for listings of stuff you get. Revolutionaries Volume 2, the upcoming trade that I think collects the issues 5 to 8 of Revolutionaries, which are not even out yet. So this has been listed on Amazon and listed as coming out November 14th. But the one interesting thing is that in the ad copy for the book, the very last sentence is it says, "Bridging the gap between the first major Hasbro event, Revolution, and the newest crossover, Insurgency," which I don't believe has been mentioned or announced by IDW at all. So this is a very interesting kind of backdoor announcement that apparently we're getting a crossover called Insurgency this year. So looks like we're not going to be spared the crossovers. They're going to be every year we're going to get some kind of event. I mean, we already have the Transformers ROM crossover as a separate thing. So, oh boy.
It really depends on how well I don't know. I still have some faith that now that the Revolution stuff is starting to settle a little, they'll be a little bit smarter about how they use the characters, because they don't have to introduce all the characters all at once. So my fingers are crossed. I mean, we get on the DC side, we get crossovers, every so often, no big ones since Rebirth. On the Marvel, you get one pretty much every Wednesday, you get a crossover. So, the industry's used to it.
Yeah.
I just, I just hope that now that they don't have to introduce all the characters and, show how it all comes together all in the same same series, maybe they can, have a little bit smarter and more subtle crossover.
Well, I hope you're right, Jeremy. But, I mean, this is literally the only thing we know about it is that it's called Insurgency. So we have no other information about what this crossover could be. But, yeah. We'll see. I guess we'll have to keep our ears to the ground and find out. All right, that's all the comics news. And normally we would be doing a comic review, but we are not this week. And the reason why will become apparent a little bit later on. But for right now, we're going to move right on in to some media news.
All right, well, we've got a couple pieces of media news this week. And the first one was a fairly big event that went on this week, and it was the Transformers IMAX Global Fan Event. And that kind of went kind of nuts. We shared some information about it last week, and we did have a couple of our listeners that were able to attend. We got some images from TFW that went up. So you can take a look at those. We've got all the links here in the show notes. So we've got images from the fan footage. They rated it. Their fan first impressions, the featurette, and the reactions from the fans. So from our impressions, it was about from what we could understand, it was about just under half an hour's worth of video that they were able to show. I don't think all of that was movie video. I think there was some like behind the scenes and some interview stuff that they were showing as well. But yeah, take a look at these links here. And if that's something you want to take a look at,
I did see some videos of the reactions and it seemed pretty positive, but I don't know if they were already movie fans or not.
Right. Well, from what I gathered, it was likely just a very long trailer, that they were showing. But I applaud them for doing this kind of stuff. This was a pretty neat thing to do. You know, you offer this thing up to, the fans and, you know, you can have some fun with it. But yeah, this is definitely a different thing. I haven't seen a lot of other movie franchises doing stuff like this. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, so that did happen. And so the movie's coming out in July, and there's been about half an hour's worth of video shown to a select few people. This coming Wednesday.
No, this past Wednesday.
Yes. Well, this past Wednesday for us, because we're in the future right now, which will be Wednesday the 12th, is the last night we'll have another trailer come out. Hopefully there's some new footage in there, but, there's probably a little bit, but I'm not expecting a whole bunch. So look forward to that. Robots in Disguise season 4 is slated to begin in May in Germany. Now, last week on the show, I told you that, yesterday, being Saturday the 8th, there was supposed to be the start of season 4 here in Canada. Now, it didn't happen.
It's season 3. They call it season 4 in Germany because they count season 2.5 as season 3.
Oh. All right,
for
then.
For some reason.
That's confusing. So season 3 was supposed to start here in Canada, and it didn't happen. So I've gone ahead and I've looked into the future of my DVR, and it's not even slated anymore. So I don't know what the hell is happening. It's been delayed. Maybe they're trying to schedule it and sync it up with the US. So get your shit together, Cartoon Network. We got some more of that unreleased, extended, and deleted audio from the G1 show. So this time it's Fire on the Mountain from that early G1 episode for season 1. And you can take a look at that. That's from
Transformers at the Moon.
Yes, that's the name of them. Yes. So, yeah, take a look at that. And some really good stuff in there. I don't think the video's that long. It's just over 5.5 minutes. So, yeah, some fun listening there. Angry Birds Transformers is still a thing. They've added Trypticon. Would he be Trypto Bird? I don't know. What would they call him? Doesn't matter. Moving on.
None of us are playing it anymore. We don't know.
Transformers Forged to Fight. That's bigger news than Angry Birds because it just started. It launched this week, and it's the new mobile game. So if you're not playing it, know that it is available. It's out now. And there's an interview on TFW, and it's with the creative director. And they go through and ask a good number of questions. So go ahead and take a look at that. And if you're up for reading all of that. But yeah, both Jeremy and myself and Charles have played it. Yoshi's played it as well, but he decided not to show up for work today. So
he did review it on his website, though.
Yeah, he did. A nice review on his website.
Yeah, he did.
We can link that in the show notes.
Which I wanted to say is something kind of funny happened because I got it a day early than everyone else. And I don't know if it's something to do with it being in Canada or my superior BlackBerry device got it. But I did get it before everyone else. on the show. So I was playing it and I was saying, hey guys, come on, check this out. I'm playing this thing. And you know, we can all, you know, play together kind of thing. And they're like, I can't get it. I don't know what the hell's going on. And Charles is like, my engineering degree cannot get this game to download. And I said, I didn't know. And he's,
we waited a day, Daryl. It's okay. you had a day head start. Congratulations.
Yeah, I did. Yes. So, yeah. So anyway, so Jeremy and I have spent the most time, Charles seemingly is still stuck to his swoosh. Jeremy, what have you found about, like, you've been playing it a bit. What have you found with Forge to Fight so far?
Well, I'm enjoying it so far. I mean, it's a fighting game, and I wasn't sure exactly how the controls would work, but, I mean, basically you're just tapping one side of the screen to block and another side of the screen to do taps, to do attacks. And then mm-hmm. if you swipe, you're, you know, moving back and forth or doing a stronger attack. And, I mean, it's a pretty nice control scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's neat that they have characters from, you know, all different generations of Transformers. Right now I've only encountered G1, Beast Wars, and movies, the live action movies.
Right.
And I did take a little bit of satisfaction when G1 Prime just, you know, beats up on Movie Prime. That is nice. I wish that they would have taken more inspiration with the comics on some things, like RC doesn't have swords. I'm used right. to RC having swords now, based on the comics. I mean, she's heavily based off of the cartoon, but it does say that she was like an assassin or something. I mean, there's some of her background from the IDW comics in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Windblade is in there, which is nice. And I thought they did a good job of her, like her animation model in the game looks really good. I haven't gotten to play as her yet, but I've played against her and,
right.
You know, I was pretty happy with her representation there. So yeah, I mean, the story is it's pretty engaging so far. I mean, you're still going from fight to fight, but I haven't hit any points where I'm getting frustrated because it's hitting me up for money. It's been really subtle about that. And I've been, appreciative that it seems to be more about the gameplay, at least at this early level.
Right.
So, I mean, that's about it right now. I think I'm in like the second set of levels.
You're doing the story?
Yeah. In the story.
Yeah. I just finished the second act of chapter yeah. one story today, and I've been going through and making sure that I get them at 100% each time.
Yeah, that's what's taking me a while.
Yeah, so you got to go through and you replay them, because the first couple of them you can just rip through and that's fine, but then they start within them, they deviate off, and the only way you can go back and collect those areas is you got to play through the whole thing again.
My problem is I don't remember which route I took, so sometimes.
Oh, you can tell,
but it's very subtle.
Right.
At least on my phone. So if I don't notice that this path is thicker than that path.
Right.
I'll choose the one I'd already taken. And then mm-hmm. you have to beat it completely before you can start it over.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I've been enjoying it. I believe I got very lucky at the beginning. Because when I was searching through or doing like one of those character pulls during like the start of the game, I pulled a 3-star Optimus Prime, and I've been leveling him up ever since. He's a movie Prime, but I'll take him.
I have a movie Prime, but I don't know if he was a 3-star. Might have been a 2.
Yeah. So I've been having a good old time with him. But I've got a fairly strong team for what I assume is strong at this point. I believe I'm just about to hit level 16. And for all the listeners out there that are playing the game, we started an alliance for Transmissions listeners. The alliances, though, they only hold 18 people. So when we put the call out on Discord, this is why you need to be on Discord, we filled up half that alliance fairly quickly. So we're sitting at 9 people strong in our alliance right now. So if you're playing Forge to Fight, then come on and join our alliance. But yeah, if you're not, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. But we're having a good time with it. It's a fun game. I don't know. It's one of those things, like, I'm enjoying the fact that it's more than just a fighting game, right? There's a lot more story to it, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you break it all down, the interaction that you have with the game is simply just fighting, right? But you have to build a base. You have to, you know, you can do a story mode. You can do the arena mode. You can do daily challenges. You can do all these other different things. There's going
to be alliance modes at some point.
Right. And then you can, you know, can you play against other players? Like, can you go against?
Yeah. There's that raid mode.
Right. Exactly. Yes. That's exactly it. You can. So that's why you build your own base, so that you can go against another person. So yeah, that's another thing.
There's
right?
a little bit of an RPG aspect to it. I mean, cause mm-hmm. you know, you're leveling up your characters and you're going to want to have strong characters defending your base, but when they're defending your base, they're not available to fight in, you know, the other modes of the game.
That's right.
So you have to manage your resources in that way.
Mm-hmm. No, I've been enjoying it so far. No, there's a, so definitely, check out that game. Just because there's
I did play it a little bit. I can talk a little bit about
you have not played it.
Compare Zelda. It to Zelda.
Yeah.
No,
tell
I mean,
us
so
what
one
the
thing,
what the opening sequence is like, Charles.
I mean, the one thing that I will say, I like the core fighting game. I enjoy, but I kind of don't like everything around it. But I mean, the thing, like, I don't know if it's just my phone, but it's really slow to load. Like, just starting the app, I have to wait a good like 15 to 20 seconds before, like, I can get to the interface, and then, like, loading every fight is really slow. And my phone is a Galaxy S7, so it's not, you know, it's a phone that just came out last year, so.
Aren't those the ones that explode?
No, that's the Note 7. but, I think the idea of having, like, you know, fighting with all the different characters from different universes, I think that's cool. I did get a Windblade, and she's fun. Like, her transformation and everything is cool. Yeah, I mean, it's just, for me, the frustration is around just, like, the way the, you know, the freemium model is set up, and how you have to kind of randomly get characters and all the stuff around it, and, like, you know, there's so much stuff that you have to go through before you just get to the regular fighting game. That's just a, you know, but I think that's, unfortunately, that's the freemium model is the model that dominates in the mobile app space, so it's not really something that you can fight against, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Cool. On that note, let's talk to the people that made Earth Wars.
Yeah, so Transformers Earth Wars is another mobile app that's been out for about a year, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably even closing in on 2.
Yeah. They have they're doing an interesting promotion now where they're bringing in Beast Wars characters into the Transformers Earth Wars game, and as part of that, they are releasing a fan-made comic
fan being the fan that's part of their team.
Yeah, their house artist, who is also a Transformers fan. But they're doing an Easter egg hunt, since we are in Easter week. So if you check, you go have to go hunt through the different websites, you know, TFW, Sabertron, and AllSpark to find the pages of this comic. And then they're going to let everyone vote on how the comic will end. So As part of that, they actually reached out to us to, and we got to do an interview with them, with Space Ape Games, to talk about Transformers Earth Wars and the new Beast Wars event. Of course, Simon Furman is has written the storyline for this event. He's been doing all the story development and work for the Earth Wars game, and then these, you know, Beast Wars, of course. You know, he got to participate in that a little bit. He wrote the last episode of the Beast Wars TV show. Of course, Simon Furman is much more known for the, you know, all the wonderful G1 Transformers comics that he wrote, and G2 as well. So if you hadn't heard of Simon Furman before. So we're going to talk to Space Ape Games, and stay tuned for that. It's going to be right here in the next segment. And we hope you enjoy it. So we have the privilege to talk to a couple of folks from Space Ape Games, developers of the mobile game Transformers Earth Wars. So we're pleased to welcome Deborah Mensah-Bansu and Chris White.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Great to be with you.
Yes, very exciting.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for reaching out to us and coming on the show. We're really excited to talk to you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I want to get started just to let the listeners know. Can you tell us a little bit about Space Ape Games and you know, how it started and what the focus is for your company?
Sure. So Space Ape Games is a mobile games company based in London, England. There's about 100 of us here. And we've developed a whole bunch of mobile games. We formed in about 2012. Our first sort of best known game was Samurai Siege. Then we released Rival Kingdoms. And then after that, Transformers Earth Wars. And we've got a whole bunch of new games in development currently as well.
That's right. I mean, we can talk about the new games coming up maybe a bit later.
Sure, yeah.
Move on,
yeah.
To
okay. So I'm curious, of course, you know, where does the name Space Ape come from?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And there's a number of competing stories about this. So true. We're just going to run with lots of different ones and see which one you like the best. So my version of events is that if you think to the film 2001: A Space Odyssey, it kind of opens with a big sort of black monolith descending, and there's all the apes kind of screaming, and they're screaming for the first 15 minutes of the movie. And then this monolith kind of, like, you know, you're like, hey, what is this? Well, it kind of symbolizes the start of them entering the space era. And it kind of looks a whole lot like a mobile phone.
It does.
So, yeah, maybe we're called Space Ape because of that. But I think, Deborah, you've got a different version of events.
Yeah, I've got one other version. You may remember the fortunate/unfortunate primate back in the late 1940s who was sent up to space. And I think he was the first primate to go up into space. His name was Albert. And he did, unfortunately, suffocate in space. But he was also a, you know, trailblazer, really breaking new ground. And I think for us at Space Ape, we're sort of in the same boat where we're always trying to, you know, explore new territory
we've got oxygen, air, and everything else we need.
Exactly. Hopefully we will not be, you know, succumbing to space. But no, we're always looking for, you know, new ideas and new things to explore, and really hoping to sort of define a genre in this lovely gaming space.
I guess it could also come full circle with this week's event that we're going to be talking about. You got a Space Ape right in there too.
We will be introducing Optimus Primal to the game very soon.
That's
so
true, yeah.
Yeah.
But with all of that, we had that in mind when the company was founded. We thought, you know, like 4 years from now, we're probably going to have this event. So it makes sense that we should
name the company. Yeah, and it has cost time and space to get into the game as well. So
exactly. It's all coming together. Finally.
It all makes sense.
So this makes me
whatever you want to make of that.
This makes me think of, like, the Joker in The Dark Knight. He told a different origin story every time someone asked who he was.
That's us.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you go back and check, there's many different origin stories. So yeah, they're the ones we researched today.
Exactly, research made up, whatever you want to call it.
So let's talk about Transformers Earth Wars. So, Chris, you're the lead on the game. Is that the lead developer or the lead?
Yeah, that's right. So I look after the Transformers Earth Wars team.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always been a big Transformers fan. Like, you know, like a lot of people that grew up in the 80s, I got my first Transformer, who was Power Glide, back in 1984, 1985. I remember asking for him for Christmas, and my parents thought I was after an electrical Transformer to convert voltage. And it was only after I was like, hey, no, this is like a cool new toy, apparently, that I'm hearing about. So, yeah, I got my Power Glide, and, you know, the animated show was on TV around that time. Started buying the Marvel UK comic, as it was. That was it was actually reprinting a lot of the US Marvel stories at the time and interweaving them with homegrown stories. So, yeah, I got pretty into Transformers. I guess, like, the pinnacle of Transformers for me as a kid, at least, was when I, you know, went to see the 86 movie. They killed off Optimus Prime. It's the first and only only film ever to make me cry. Like, to this day now, you know, it's like, that was an emotional moment in my life, and one that I've never forgotten. And yeah, I guess one that maybe I've kind of never forgiven Hasbro for.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Still affected by that.
I am still a bit affected by it. So yeah, so you know, I was always into Transformers, and as time went by, I guess, you know, I was into Transformers through the 80s, and then in the early 90s, Transformers perhaps weren't quite so big. I think the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles had come out and pushed them out of the way for a bit. So it was around that time I joined, like, the Transmasters fan club in the UK for Transformers. And it was a bunch of guys. Like, I think some of the guys who are writing IDW now, like James Roberts was in there.
Yeah, and Nick Roach.
Yeah, that's right. And all those guys were writing the fanzines and stuff like that. And I was like, fantastic. These continued on from where the Generation 2 comic finished, which obviously finished at issue 12, which was a bit of a sad day. So yeah, just carried on just being interested in Transformers way past the point I should have been. Yeah, and I guess, you know, by the late 90s, sort of turn of the 21st century, Transformers just started picking up again, you know, becoming more and more popular. That, you know, there was Beast Wars, then there was Beast Machines, then there was the Dreamwave comic, and then obviously Michael Bay stepped in with the multi-billion pound films, and it just all picked up from there. So yeah, they've never really gone away. I've always been a huge Transformers fan, but yeah, you know, partly for reasons of nostalgia and partly because it's a great brand, and there's so many elements to it as well, like everything from the toys through to the comics through to the animated shows. It's yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think of that quite such a long love affair with Transformers. I definitely used to watch it as a kid with my brother, you know, back in the 80s. And it was also dubbed in German because I grew up in Germany. So I got to hear Optimus Prime in German, which was cool.
How does he sound?
Probably sort of the same, but with a German accent.
That's the thing, like,
I was probably like 4 or 5.
What's like roll out in German? Can you say that?
Maybe you'd say like, Lass uns fahren or something like that.
Doesn't sound as catchy, but
I think it's all right.
Yeah, okay.
Some things do lose their luster when you translate them into German. But yeah, I know we definitely used to watch it when I was a kid. Optimus Prime was always our hero. And then when I started rewatching some of the Beast Wars stuff recently, of course, because we're doing Beast Wars in the game, and I used to watch that in Canada on YTV. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Yeah, but
where you saw Beasties.
Yeah, Beasties. That's what it was called. Exactly. So yeah, definitely watch that as well, along with Reboot, the good old CGI days.
Whatever happened to Mainframe? Are they still in business? I wonder.
I think they're out of business. Yeah. I saw something recently about a reboot, but I'm not sure if that was an April Fool's thing or not.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, those old Mainframe shows, I mean, the CGI on them obviously is the thing that dates, but I think the storytelling on them is still pretty respectable to this day. So yeah, they're still fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see a Beast Wars remastered that just takes the same audio but just has modern CGI on it.
Ah, cool. Yeah,
I think it would work.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get to see you know, a new updated version in our game.
We've also got the trailer, hopefully, as well.
Yeah, we've got the trailer. Should be releasing this week. Our cinematic artist Mark does these incredible trailers for our games, so you'll be able.
Am I allowed to say any spoilers about this?
About the trailer?
Yeah.
Well, this is going out on Friday, so probably.
All right, cool. I mean, I've seen this trailer, and it's fantastic. It's kind of like a modern take on maybe what Beast Wars would look like if it was made now, and there's a fantastic fight in it between Optimus Primal and Megatron. So, you know, even if you haven't played the game, please check out the trailer, because it's awesome. He's put a lot of time into it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Great. Yeah, we'll definitely link to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, we'll send you the link when it's ready to roll.
Great. So, how did you get Earth Wars to as a project at the beginning? Did you have to pitch to Hasbro, or did Hasbro come to you to with an idea to develop a game?
Yeah, so Hasbro came to us actually, and we were in development. We'd released Samurai Siege, and we were in development with Rival Kingdoms at the time. And Hasbro saw Rival Kingdoms, and they really liked what we were doing with that project, and they were interested to see if we wanted to work with the Transformer license. And as you know, some of us were such big Transformer fans, we didn't hesitate to say yes. So it went from that moment on. So really, we started working on Transformers Earth Wars probably about 6 months before Rival Kingdoms was finished and went live. We were working on the game for a long period of time over that period, and working very closely with Hasbro on the character designs, the story, and everything else that went into the game. So, it was a real honor to be able to work with the Transformer brand again.
Awesome. And so it must have been a thrill to get Simon Vernon involved to develop the story as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the fun parts of the project was thinking back to, influences on the Transformer brand over time that, you know, I really respected. So everyone from Peter Cullen through to Frank, who did voices for us, through to Simon Furman, who wrote all the character bios, who wrote the campaign stories and is still working with us. For example, the Beast Wars event that's live at the moment, he wrote all the dialogue and script for that as well. So yeah, it's a real honor. Some of these people that you grew up reading and respecting as a kid, to be able to work alongside them is a fantastic opportunity. And Simon's a great guy to work with, and his knowledge of Transformers is amazing. You can just give him, you know, the briefest amount of source of information about what it is you want to do, and he'll almost instantly reformat that into the words of one of your favorite characters, and it just sounds 10 times better than anything you could possibly think up yourself. So, yeah, it's been a great experience.
Definitely.
Awesome.
I'm really amazed as well about how he can sort of marry different stories together, you know, because for Beast Wars, for example, you know, he wrote the last episode of the show, and then our game kind of picks up after that, and he managed to just kind of make it work. And I mean, even writing for Beast Wars, the last episode, he came in at the end and just, you know, blew it up and killed everybody. It was awesome. So
it was pretty epic.
Simon is incredible. Like he can just, like Chris said, jump in and take it and bring it to new levels.
The other thing I hadn't realized, you know, before working with Frank and Peter as well, you know, I knew the Transformer voices went through some element of processing before making it to the show, but I didn't realize how little it was. When you hear those guys doing the voices, it's like, wow, that just is Optimus Prime. That's just Megatron. And sure, there's a little bit of post-processing on someone like Megatron, but it's surprisingly little.
Yeah.
You know, I thought there'd be way more than there was. We needed to do very little to the voices that we recorded in order to make them sound like they did on the original show.
Very cool.
Awesome. So I guess through Hasbro, you got access to basically all the you know, potential talent you needed in terms of writing and voice acting and everything to make the game a real kind of Transformers experience.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, I wanted the game to be a modern take, I guess, on Transformers, like with some nice nods to the past as well. So I didn't want it to be like an overly retro product where it actually looked and felt like you were back in the 80s again. I wanted it to be a modern take on that. So we updated all the character models, but we wanted to bring in people that knew the Transformers brand well and would make it feel like a genuine part of the Transformers universe. So that was part of the reason for bringing in Simon, the voice actors, to work on the game.
Cool. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the overall concept for the game and what you think it'll appeal, you know, what appeals most to Transformers fans in this game?
Yeah, I mean, the background of the game itself is set on Earth. In the game, the backstory is Megatron's on the hunt for a powerful artifact, and their search has brought the Decepticons to Earth. Optimus Prime and the Autobots are going to do anything to stop them. So, you essentially get to Earth and you've got to pick a side. You're either going to be the Autobots or the Decepticons, and it's your job to build a base to defend your resources, like your Energon and everything else. So the game falls into the build and battle genre. So first of all, you're building your base up, but another big part of the game is getting your team of either Autobots or Decepticons to Earth through the space bridge, powering them up and going and fighting the other side. So essentially you're battling, leveling up your bots, and eventually once you get through some of the campaigns, you'll join an alliance, you'll team up with loads of other players worldwide, and you can go off and do sort of alliance wars and missions together. You can also participate in events as well, which are sort of things that take place usually at the weekend where you can unlock new bots. There's usually a theme to them. You'll get sort of, you know, new dialogue as you experience those characters. So it's kind of like there's a new episode of the game, I guess, every weekend at the moment. If you were thinking of it like a TV show, you know, if you join the game on Friday, then there'll be something new every week.
Cool. So I guess I'm a little bit old school. So looking at the game, to me, it kind of feels a little bit like, I guess, StarCraft or Warcraft, and you know, with the Transformers on top of that. Would that be an accurate description?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we call the genre, I guess, build and battle.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are definite nods to all those games. The main sort of twist, I suppose, with Earth Wars is we wanted to bring transformation to the forefront of the game. So as part of the strategy, it's very important to know, like, all your bots and how they work. And we've actually got now over 100 in the game. So a huge part of the Transformers universe with many more to come. And each bot has their own ability. So for example, Optimus Prime has an inspiring charge. So he can basically lead any of the other bots that you have on the battlefield to a target to destroy them. Whereas someone like Strafe, or Swoop as he was formerly known, will fly through the sky. You can target defenses. He'll you know, swing around and attack them from above. So each bot has their own strategic use in battle. And as you start playing through the game, you'll get to know which ones are your favorite, which ones work well together. We definitely wanted them all to have their own personalities and feel unique. I mean, one of the important things about Transformers is the different characters, how they're portrayed and their relationships. So someone like Ratchet, you know, his key function on the battlefield is to heal your other bots. Someone like, for example, if you're playing as the Decepticon, someone like Bludgeon is a more tanky unit that you can push up front to soak up damage, and you can leave some of your more longer firing units up front, and he'll be there using his swords or katanas, they're called. So each one's very different. We put a lot of energy and effort into making sure that they feel unique and faithful to how you'd expect that character to behave.
Cool. And I know Jeremy's in charge of our Transmissions Alliance on the game. So anyone out there who wants to join up, let Jeremy know.
Oh, I think we might be full.
But, okay.
send me a lesson or a message. If you're a listener to the show, I'll bump someone else out.
Survival of the fittest.
So before we get to the Beast Wars event, I know you did you've already introduced combiners into Earth Wars. So can you tell us how they work in the game now?
Yeah, so combiners, essentially, let's say you've got a team of Constructicons on the Decepticon side. Once you unlock all the characters that make up a combiner, and you need 3-star versions of them, then you've got a building called a combiner lab, which you unlock through playing the combiner campaign. When you unlock that building, you can actually combine those units together to form a combiner. That combiner can then be unleashed in battle. As you'd expect, he's massive. He's slower than the other units, but he causes incredible amounts of damage. He has his own unique set of abilities that he can do. So you can target a particular building, and he'll do the sort of the big fist punch on a turret, a bit like reminiscent of the G1 movie scene where Devastator's on the rampage, destroying Autobot City. And there's a bunch of other attacks he can do, like a big missile strike from his chest and all sorts. So, combiners are a bit of a game changer. You won't unlock one particularly quickly. Like, you'll probably have had to have been playing the game a good few months before you get to a combiner. They're there as a later game feature. And they're really awesome once you get to experience them.
Awesome.
We've got 4 in the game at the moment. So we've got Devastator and Superion. And then later on, we introduced Bruticus and Optimus Maximus as well.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Beast Wars event. We saw the stream from last week announcing it. And we know you've got a little promotion going on with this fan comic as well. So let's start at the beginning. So who's coming into into Earth Wars, invading Earth Wars here?
So so basically as part of the Beast Wars event, the two characters that we're introducing are Optimus Primal and Megatron. So yeah, this is Megatron in his sort of T-Rex form from the mainframe show and the Beast Wars toy line. These two characters are particularly cool. They've got new abilities and usages that unlike any other character that we've introduced. For example, they can both jump over walls in the game, which is really cool. So there's like a new set of animations and they bring a new level of strategic gameplay, I guess, to the game when you use them. There's a new story written by Simon as well. This story is delivered as you play through the event. So it's four parts. By the time you hear this podcast, we'll be just about to start the third part, but you'll be able to join at any time and you'll get a drift of what's going on. The backstory, if you missed it, was Grimlock has a fantastic idea, which is that he's going to try and get some Transformers from the future to come to Earth by using the space bridge and some help from Perceptor. But Grimlock, being Grimlock, kind of messes this up, and in the end, he starts bringing the Beast Wars characters through in the form of Optimus Primal and Megatron. So, you know, at first he's kind of delighted because he thinks that Beast Wars Megatron's a future version of himself. But he soon realizes this isn't the case and he's made a bit of an error. So the storyline kind of covers those beats. At the end of each event, there's also a sequence where Optimus Primal and Megatron are kind of talking to each other and there's some nice character building there as well. So, yeah, and then as you level up the characters, once you've finally got them, then you'll see more of this story through the game. So, yeah, the event itself kind of features some great new storyline. It features some great new gameplay. And, yeah, we really hope people enjoy it. In terms of future Beast Wars characters, you know, it's something we're certainly open to and we'll look into. If, you know, if people love Beast Wars and they love the event, then, yeah, we'll look at doing more. But the Transformer universe is so vast and there's already so many areas that we haven't tapped into, even though we've launched over 100 characters already. So, yeah, who knows what's coming next? Actually, I do know what's coming next.
It's funny, though, because every time we release something, you know, that people have been asking for a long time, for example, like combiners or something like that, and then immediately the day that we release something, they'll already be asking for the next thing. You know, yeah. Like, oh, you know, you just released Superior. And they'll be like, well, where's Maximus and where's, and you're like, but we just gave you this. Just wait a second. But it's awesome to see that there's such an appetite for it. So you can, yeah, like Chris said, there's so much to choose from. So I don't think we'll ever really run out of stuff.
Awesome. All right. So, You mentioned, and of course, it's nice to hear that Simon Furman was able to work Grimlock into the story, because I know that's a favorite character of his.
Yeah, that's right. On our screen the other week, he says, what did he say? What was the reason you like Grimlock? I think he said it was because Grimlock was bald or something, but I don't know if that's, he said something like that.
I can't remember what he said now.
He was stubborn or pig-headed or something like that?
It could have been.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you also play the Beast Wars event this weekend, it's quite a good one because you don't actually need to be in an alliance to play it. You just need to get yourself to HQ4. So if you haven't played the game before, you can come in and take part in the event and see what it's all about without even joining an alliance. So it's a nice entry point, I guess, into the Beast Wars saga halfway through.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I don't want to get too far into the weeds of the story, but you mentioned how... It takes off at the end of the Beast Wars TV show. So I guess this is maybe in between Beast Wars and Beast Machine. So there's no kind of oblique references to Beast Machines at all.
We don't have any references to Beast Machines at this time. No, we're firmly sort of focusing on Beast Wars for the time being, but yeah, who knows for the future?
Yeah. And just curious if you guys are still into the toys. Have you seen the Masterpiece Optimus Primal and Cheetor toys that are coming out in the last year?
I've seen them on the web, don't actually have physical copies here in the office. I mean, we have a lot of toys, and we reference all the toys very closely when we're designing the models for the game. So sometimes, you know, in the case of something like Masterpiece Grimlock, I mean, that toy is almost the perfect version of Grimlock, and we pretty much, you know, use it as a basis wholesale. But some of the other characters that we put in the game, we make changes and amendments, you know, either to make them more readable on the battlefield in game, or maybe we want to push them closer to a classic version of the character that we particularly liked or we think will resonate with fans. So, you know, sometimes we make changes, sometimes we keep them very similar. I guess a character like Prowl's one we made a number of changes to in terms of taking his generation's version and altering it slightly. If you compare the version in game with the toy, it's quite different.
So also let's talk a little bit about the fan comic that's accompanying the event. So we heard on the stream last week that there's a bit of an Easter egg hunt going on, and actually I think the artist who is doing the comic for you listens to Transmissions. At least he got in touch with us and said, you know, have fun on the interview, say hi to Deborah and Chris. So so let's talk a little bit about the Easter egg hunt that's going on.
Yeah, sure. So Nathan Webb, he's the one who is going to be doing all the art for the comic, and he was just a fan of the game and a fan of Transformers, and we sort of got in touch maybe 6 months ago, maybe a bit more. And we've been doing, you know, little collaborations here and there, just for fan art and that type of thing. And then I think late last week, we were like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did a comic for Beast Wars? And we were like, yes, that would be cool. Let's do it. And so he's been furiously painting and sending across the sort of the rough copies, and they look amazing already.
This happened very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
I hardly even knew what was going on. Yeah, Simon turned around the script really quick as well.
Exactly. So we had Simon, as you guys know, on the stream last week, and when he was here, we chatted about it. I said, yeah, you know, we're going to do this comic. He's like, well, I'll help you guys with that. And we were like, awesome. So Simon's actually going to be doing the little sort of spin-off story. So it's not exactly what's in the game for Beast Wars. It's going to be a little bit of a sort of side story to complement the story in game. That way you'll sort of need to play the game to understand the basis, I think, of the story, but you'll get a little extra if you read the comic. So it'll be a nice little accompaniment, I suppose. And basically the idea is that we're going to have a 3-page comic, and one page is going to be featured on one fan site. So we're going to have 3 fan sites, one page on each fan site, and they're going to be publishing those pages over Easter weekend. So if fans want the full story, they're going to basically hunt around these different fan sites to get the whole story, which is going to be really cool. And that's going to be on AllSpark, on TFW 2005, and on Cybertron. Obviously, any Transformers fans know those sites, so don't have to tell you guys that. You already know that, but it's going to be really cool. They're going to publish those 3 pages of the comic on the weekend. So, you know, players, fans can go and read that. And then next week, we're going to recap the story during a live stream. And then also the ending is going to be a bit of a cliffhanger in the comic book. And the community is going to get to vote on how the story is actually going to end. So they're going to have 3 different alternate endings. And we'll do a live vote during the stream to see which one people basically want to see in the comic. And then Nathan's going to fiercely draw that ending as well to complete the comic book. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun for fans. And each of the fan sites are going to run their own contest to give away the original artwork of the comic book, which is going to be really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome. So it came together really quickly, but we're just running with it because, you know, when you have a good idea, you just got to roll with it.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
So you guys, do you guys do a stream every week to promote the weekend events in the game?
Yeah, so we run weekly live streams every Thursday at 4 p.m. UTC, which is 5 p.m. London time. And basically it's a chance for us as a team to get to connect with our players and fans. Like having that direct feedback is really important for us because, you know, without the players, there is no game. And some of the feedback that they give is super valuable and actually really impacts on the way that we design and develop the game. So having that, interaction is great.
Yeah, we usually have different people on the stream each week. So often, you know, someone who works on the game directly through to people from the world of Transformers. So we've had obviously Simon on the stream a few times. We've had
Andrew Wildman has
come
on,
the Marvel artist. We've also had Transformers art collector who has a lot of the original art from the G1 packaging, which was really cool to see. Very jealous.
Yeah, we've also had, of course, Chris White on the stream.
Don't watch those ones.
But yeah, no, it's great. We do it every week, and every week we sort of learn something, and hopefully they like spending time with us too. I mean, that whole, you know, we're talking about how do you keep the game fresh every week and that kind of thing. Because it's such a team-based game, I think creating, you know, more of that passion around something that everybody enjoys is really valuable. So being able to tap into that, you know, on our side as well is really important.
Mm-hmm. So future events, I don't want to spoil anything, I would just like to maybe put a vote in for tying future events to some of the stuff going on in the IDW comics. That's something we're fans of. You know, we cover the comics. We try to review the comics every week on our podcast, and we really enjoy those. But you know, if you have any inkling about or you know, plans to put some of that stuff into the game, you'd get our support, I'd say.
Absolutely, that could be cool. I mean, the nice thing about our events is often, you know, we actually design them very close to when you see them in the game. You know, often with game development, things are done months and months in advance, but we work quite close to the wire, right up to, you know, what the name of the event is. Often we're deciding that a few days before. So,
true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of stuff that's coming out soon after the Beast Wars event, that, you know, we don't actually know exactly what it will be, but we've got an awesome selection of new characters coming along, and there's some great new features we're working on as well. So, for example, one thing the team are working on at the moment is a set of improvements to the replay system. So when you're actually watching a replay of a battle in the game, you're going to be able to control the camera and zoom right in on the bots, rotate the camera around. You'll get a totally different viewpoint of the action. So rather than it being an aerial viewpoint, it's, you know, you're sort of at ground level, and it makes a real difference, and you can get some really impressive battles. And then if you've got an Apple device, we've actually got some tech in there, so you can immediately save the replay and then put it on YouTube as well. So that's one thing we're working on. And another thing that Adam, our designer, has been working on, which will appeal to fans, I think, is he's working on a Kremzeek booster as well. So do you remember the slightly crazy, fiery character who I think has appeared in the odd IDW comic as a sort of a cameo, and in the G1 show, obviously. Yeah, he's coming in as well. So there's some fun stuff in the pipeline too.
Nice.
And plus, have you chat about factions?
Oh, yeah. And recently we launched the factions feature as well, so that up until now you could only use either Autobots or Decepticons, but now you can unlock both sides when you reach headquarters level 8. So, yeah, that expands the number of characters you can play with to over 100 as well. So, yeah, pretty awesome.
Nice. So do you have any other games in the pipeline from Space Ape that you might want to tease?
Sure, yeah. So obviously we've got, you know, Samurai Siege is live, and Rival Kingdoms and Transformers, but we're actually launching a new game within the next few weeks, I guess I'll say. And, you know, we've made a name for ourselves in the build and battle genre, and we do that really, really well. But now we sort of have the freedom to be able to explore new ground and new territory. And so this new one's going to be really different from anything else we've done. It's a top-down arcade shooter, actually. And it's got a lot of attitude. You can basically blow stuff up. You're going to drive around with your car. You're going to soup up your car, customize it, and then move through different leagues and different bosses, try to get to the top of that leaderboard and reclaim your city. And we've actually got, more than 20 YouTubers who are going to be featured within the game. So they've got their own likeness in the game, and they're going to be running, their own events in game over a 4-day period for, I think, about a year's time. So it should make for some pretty interesting content there as well. But yeah, it's going to be very different from anything that we've done so far. And we've got, I don't know, I think two or three other games in prototype as well. So exciting times over here for sure.
Cool.
Nice.
All right. Well, I think we're going to move into the final section of the interview where we have some rapid fire questions. So these are some questions to kind of
not really test, but to maybe get our feelings on your particular, you know, Transformers slash geek interests and preferences. So
Chris is ready.
I'm going to hand it over to Jeremy and let you go through the gauntlet.
Let's do this.
Okay, so let's start out. Autobot or Decepticon?
Decepticon.
Who is your favorite?
Got to be Starscream.
Autobot. And okay. I'm an Optimus girl.
And who?
I'm an Optimus girl.
Okay, cool. Live action movie 1, 2, 3, or 4?
1.
1.
Okay. Megan Fox, Rosie Huntington-Wheatley, Nicola Peltz, Shia LaBeouf, or Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, Megan Fox.
Yeah. That's easy.
Okay, with the IDW comics, More Than Meets the Eye / Lost Light, Robots in the Sky / Optimus Prime, or Till All Are One?
More Than Meets the Eye.
Same.
Okay. Third-party toys, yes or no? Like, these are like unofficial Transformers.
I've got to say no.
No comment on that one.
Okay, yeah.
I was never into collecting the toys, so I feel like I'm not allowed to comment.
Okay, cats or dogs?
Cat.
Dogs.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Decaffeinated tea.
chicken or steak?
Steak.
Ooh, steak.
Pepsi or Coke?
Coke.
Always Coca-Cola.
All right. Burger King or McDonald's?
McDonald's.
History or science?
Science.
Ooh. Oh, that's hard. I really like both. Can I have both?
Yeah, you can have both. We're not strict on these. Xbox or PlayStation? Or I guess we should add Switch in there too now.
Xbox.
PlayStation.
Okay, Call of Duty or Battlefield?
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
PC or Mac?
PC.
Mac.
iPhone or Android?
Android.
iPhone.
And which phone app can you not live without?
Oh, gosh.
You cannot include Earth Wars.
I think probably for me, eBay. I just love buying loads of old junk. It's always notifying me that there's something I should be buying.
I think probably maps. I've got a terrible sense of direction. So without maps, I probably wouldn't know where my home is.
All right. Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Same.
All right. Who is your favorite Marvel character?
Oh, gosh.
Spider-Man.
My favorite Marvel character.
No, maybe Death's Head. I'm going to keep changing my
mind. I don't know now. That's hard. I don't know. I pass.
Okay. Stallone or Schwarzenegger?
Schwarzenegger.
It depends, actually. Is it Stallone in, like, First Blood? Or is it, you know, Stallone in the Dependable?
Whatever you want.
First call.
Pumping Iron.
Early Stallone for me.
Yeah, okay. No, you can't beat the original Terminator and Predator.
Yeah. All right. Zoe Saldana, Scarlett Johansson, Maggie Q, Ryan Reynolds, Steven Yeun, or Chadwick Boseman?
Matt, I don't even know who all these people are.
Can you say that one more time?
Zoe Saldana, Scarlett Johansson, Maggie Q, Ryan Reynolds, Steven Yeun, or Chadwick Boseman?
I'll go for Scarlett.
I guess I'll go for Ryan Reynolds. He's funny.
All right. Twilight or Hunger Games?
Twilight all the way.
Woo. Hunger Games.
Okay. Pixar or DreamWorks?
Pixar.
Oh, Pixar.
Okay. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Yes.
I think so.
All right. Simpsons or Family Guy?
Simpsons.
Simpsons.
All right. Walking Dead or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
Got all the way.
All right. This one might not be as... relevant since you are in the UK, NFL, MLB, NHL, or NBA. So that's, you know, US football, baseball, hockey, or basketball.
Well, the only one I've actually been to see a live game of is NBA, so I'll go with that.
All right.
I will go with MLB. I used to watch a lot of Jays games in Toronto.
Okay. Porsche, Ferrari, Lamborghini, or Volkswagen Beetle?
Lamborghini. They've just got the wildest probably styling.
Ferrari, but only if it's like an older 80s or 90s one.
All right. And last question, blonde, brunette, or redhead?
To date or to be?
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Given that I'm married, I've got to say blonde.
Give me a redhead.
All right. Well, thanks for running the gauntlet. That was fun.
Thanks, guys. It's been good fun.
Definitely, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for sitting down and talking with us. And can you let everyone know how do people get in touch with Transformers, Earth Wars, or Space Ape on the internet? Are you all over social media? And you mentioned the Twitch stream. So how do people get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, we're everywhere. For Transformers, we're on Twitter at Transformers War. That's great for, you know, your daily updates, that kind of thing. Also on Facebook at TF Earth Wars, and definitely check out our weekly stream. It's twitch.tv/Transformers Earth Wars. And yeah, we're on every week at 4 p.m. UTC. So come hang out with us. We'll be there. And also check out Nathan Webb's Facebook. It's Facebook and then Nathan Webb, but the BB with a 66. So Nathan WE66. You can see some of his artwork on there. It's really great.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks very much for talking to us today. Yeah.
We'll make sure to have links to all of that in our show notes.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks so much. And we'll see you in the Earth Wars.
See you guys.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right. Wasn't that a great interview? We're back. We're going to finish up the show with some feedback.
All right. In feedback this week, we got a private message on Facebook from Sergeant Wilco. And he said, hi, team. Just finished listening to your latest episode of Alt Mode. And I have to say, I'm loving the dual podcasts. And I'm glad to hear that you won't be dropping the format. I really enjoy the comic reviews that you've been doing, and it helps me to keep up with the comics, even though I don't have the time or money to do so at the moment. In regards to the feedback on the last episode, I feel for the most part, you do try to pick out positives from each issue, though some hosts could try a bit harder, and which it must be hard when it appears that you guys haven't been enjoying, for the most part, the current story arcs. Anyway, keep up the good work, and cheers for your help making the more boring parts of my workday more bearable. So I replied on Facebook, basically saying that we do try to be positive, or at least we try to be constructive in our criticism. And, you know, I'm glad that he's enjoying it. We did discover over a period of time that ragging on the same things over and over really wasn't enjoyable for us or the listener. So, you know, we all have our own particular opinions, but we do try to point out, you know, things we like, things we don't like. And when we say that something, we don't just say something sucks. We say, you know, I didn't like this because, and gives a reason. So anyway, that was the summary of my response to him. But Daryl and Charles, you guys want to weigh in?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, I'm glad. I mean, this was nice to have a slight vote of confidence after our feedback from last week. So it's always good to have contrasting views. Yeah, I'm glad Sergeant Wilco is liking the format, and yeah, we're gonna try to, you know, to keep having we're just trying to be honest, so we're gonna keep trying to balance the positive and the negative. So that's what we're trying to do.
Cool. Daryl, you have any comments?
No, I appreciate his taking the time out to write to us and essentially back us up. Maybe I'm the one who needs to try harder. I'm pretty sure it's Yoshi though.
I'm pretty sure we all agree that.
I don't know. I just thank him for writing to us. I just find that you keep getting beat over the head so much with the, you know, with stuff that you're not finding enjoyable, and you just want to say enough already. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of our the task we've taken upon ourselves to review the books for the show. And we can't just say, nope, we're not doing reviews anymore because, you know, we're sick of them. But welcome to the comics and, you know, show. So
there's going to be, regardless of the title, regardless of, you know, the company making it, there are going to be good books and bad books. And I think Charles's comment on the last episode, you know, kind of sums it up, where normally the introduction arcs are like, you know, three issues at most, and this time they're around six, and we're just not used to the stories being strung out that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's move on. So thanks again, Sergeant Wilco, for that comment. That was great. And surprising me when I saw a Facebook message come through, and I'm like, oh wait, this is not my account. This is on the podcast account. Mm-hmm. So apparently you can do that. The next thing we have is, on Discord from Doug, who's, he's not a Patreon supporter, but he likes to just, he doesn't like there being a middleman. So he just slips us some money under the table at conventions. But, he said he listened to the new podcast. This is about the Lost Light, review. He says he has a feeling that the Functionist universe is being underused, misused, or will even be used as an easy out to bring back characters that have died, like they did with Rewind and past issues. In addition, he doesn't like the pages given to Anode, both of them. Personally, he would have preferred just getting introduced to the Functionist world and then have her, the Functionist Anode, and then have her join the cast, as he feels the other one has been and is continuing to be forced onto the readers. And I can see, you know, his opinion. We mentioned how it seemed like those couple pages going back to the Necro world kind of like takes us out of the story, and it's not really building up Anode's character all that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to comment on that one at all?
Yeah, well,
go ahead. No, well, I thought it was interesting because in the James Roberts interview that we linked to and we mentioned earlier in the show, he mentions that he wanted to use Anode as kind of the reader viewpoint, point of view character, as the compromise to have a jumping on point for new readers, which I think is not really working. If that was the intended goal, I don't think it's really working out that way.
She's not coming across as that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's too much of a mystery around her background for her to be the reader point of view character.
Yeah.
Daryl, did you want to add in?
No, well, I was going to say exactly that, what Charles said. I was going to point out that Doug had sent me this message on a Discord DM because we had talked when he came to London to go to the Heroes Comic Shop, and we had talked about it when he was here, saying that he's enjoying Lost Light, but Anode and the Functionist universe has been bugging him. And then I told him I had just recorded the show, and I was pissed off that the Functionist universe is not using that I don't like the way the Functionist universe is going. And I said, I mentioned it in the show. So he was just literally giving me feedback, personal feedback to myself. And I wanted to use it in the show. So I asked him if I could, he said, sure. Cool. Yeah, so it was. It seemed like he and I are really on the same page when it comes to Lost Light and the Functionist universe. So, yeah, I don't know what they're really planning on here. Hopefully, they get to it soon. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Anode, and I wonder maybe if some other listeners can write in, people who have been reading Lost Light. Anode's a brand new character. What does everyone kind of think of Anode here? Because, you know, it's there's a few of us here that aren't really feeling her here as a good addition to the team. Do you like Anode? Do you not like Anode? What do you want from this character? What do you hope comes from Anode? Let us know right into the show. I'm curious.
I hope you start pronouncing it Anode.
Anode.
He's Canadian.
Anode.
Anode. How do you know it's not pronounced anode?
Because he's an it's engineer. Another word. There, have you heard of cathode and anode? There, it's positive and negative.
What are you, some kind of doctor? He's a,
you know, Charles is a software engineer, Daryl. He knows all about that stuff.
He is. He knows all about electrons.
Electricity.
All right, well, let's move on. Last bit of feedback is from Dinobot Maximize. He left his comment on our website. He said one thing he's been wondering, like everyone, is whereabouts or conditions of the current cast or even the even other characters in the Functionist universe, like where's Megatron, Rodimus, and the others, or like we said on the show, Optimus Prime, Starscream, Windblade, or Tigertron, or Knockout. I mean, or what about the ones that have died in the regular universe, like Shockwave, Bumblebee, and Pipes? He says Shockwave used to be a senator. Could he be part of the current leadership? I think in the Functionist universe, the Functionists actually overthrew the Senate. Is that correct, Charles?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, so it's likely if, he's dead.
So if you think of it in kind of in, I guess, in human terms, the Functionists are the priesthood, the religious organization, and the Senate would be the kind of the secular government. And the Functionists have created a theocracy where they overthrew the secular government and executed all these senators.
Terrible.
So religion. Shockwave.
Yeah, so it's likely Shockwave is dead. He also wants to say he does like the way we do the comics with Yoshi being the art and G1 style type, me and Charles being the story loving people, and of course Daryl being the battle loving and reading hating type. So
reading hating.
He says that it makes for a great look at the style and love for the Transformers that we see today. And he loves most aspect of the comics, the current comics, but he hated when the original Transformers ongoing series was happening. He didn't like the art style. But you know, obviously things have changed a lot since then. So, and I think that was around the time that they were doing like teeth on the Autobots and trying to make them more look like the movies. That was not a good
Yeah, book. It was a little bit disappointing because at the time it was Don Figueroa who was doing those designs.
Who does great art.
He's a great Transformers artist, but that design choice, I did not care for at all.
Dark days.
I agree with Dinobot. Yeah.
So, you guys have any other comments on Dinobot's feedback?
No, I mean, I think it's in line with what Doug was saying too. Mm-hmm. So, I guess the Functionist universe is not being used to kind of get a viewpoint on all on alternate versions of those characters, but it's more focused. I think we talked about last week. It's kind of more focused on Rung. So I think this is kind of a vehicle just to complete that Rung storyline,
right? But there is the fact that we see Anode in both universes is not in there just by coincidence. There is a reason. So that's going to turn up. And I kind of agree that, you know, I would have liked to really kind of gotten to know Anode in the Functionist universe, you know, go ahead and have her be introduced initially in the Necroworld. So we recognize, oh, hey, this is the equivalent, you know, the same character in the Functionist universe. But I mean, I just don't think we're getting that any characterization on the other side to make it worth having those pages. All right. Any other comments on the feedback?
I don't hate reading.
Okay.
you just don't love it.
I'd rather there be a fight than a page of reading.
You don't like a novel in your comics.
Right.
That's understandable. All right. Well,
Charles, what does Ratchet turn into?
Ambulance.
Exactly. I made my point.
All right. With that, that's all the feedback we got, Charles.
All right. Well, ironically, we talked a lot about comics and the feedback, and we didn't have a comic review this episode, but that's okay. I mean, IDW didn't put out a new issue this week, so blame
them. They did the Revolution. Aw, yeah. But
that's out of continuity, though.
Yeah, we might get to it if we have a week where we need something.
Yeah. All right. But
thanks again to Space Ape for
for
coming on. That was awesome.
Yes. Yeah, and thanks for mentioning us on their live stream. That was really awesome. All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Alt Mode. If you haven't already, go back and check out the regular Transmissions podcast that came out on Wednesday, where we talk about toys and show off our stuff and trips to the store. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by visiting our sponsor, Prime Toys, at primetoys.net. Be sure to use our promo code TRANSMISSIONS during checkout to receive 10% off any regularly priced Transformers item. That's any Hasbro, Takara, or third-party Transformer. For a more personal touch, you can also support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies, like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmission swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play is also a great way to help support us at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You'll find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. And finally, check out our petition to help bring back a G1 Transformers comic. Thank you all again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.